You're listening to Atheistically Speaking.
Ba-ba-da-ba! Welcome, episode 100. We got there. Wow. We did it, guys. And in celebration of such an accomplishment, I'm going to introduce, this is Atheistically Speaking, your host, Thomas Smith. Episode 100, as I said. And in celebration, I'm going to introduce the second half of the interview with Tom and Cecil. I'd like to thank those guys so much for coming on and celebrating with me. So, without further ado, here we go. Well, I would like to say congratulations. I don't know how the timing's going to work out, but I can say with confidence that we're definitely in episode 100 now. So we crossed over. Do you feel different?
I feel different. Wow. I feel elevated. There's now two slices of lasagna, which is good. I can eat them both.
Yeah, this is a reward-based thing where, like, if you do the right thing, you know,
we're like hamsters.
Yeah, exactly.
Like pressing except for you press the ball and lasagna falls out.
I would press that ball with regularity.
Tom would immediately conform to whatever behavior. They're like, yeah, you want me to kill somebody? I'm in. Just where's that plate of lasagna?
Right. It's like I got to electrify these children. You didn't even let me finish speaking.
It's the most
lasagna involved.
It's the most morbid Garfield comic ever.
I hate Mondays.
Oh man. Well, how about we maybe touch on the story that I sent?
Sure.
Sorry to spring all that on you, but I'm going to take the opportunity to say now that these guys are the real deal. Tom and Cecil. None of what you just previously heard was at all planned. I can spring whatever I want on these guys, and they are absolutely up to any task. And
we can shovel shit as high as you like,
right?
Able to have an intelligent and interesting conversation just thrown on you. I really appreciate that, and I respect it. So I want to say that in my 100th and your 200th episode time, congratulations, you guys are the real deal, and there's a reason that you've made it this far.
Yeah, so there's literally no force stopping us.
Yeah.
Yeah. With that said, let's butcher a story.
Sure.
How about it?
Awesome. So I'll introduce the story. This comes from Yahoo News. Dalhousie dentistry scandal. I feel like I nailed that pronunciation.
You did. You did a good job.
And the question here is from the CBC News. Should free speech protect students from punishment? And I think, Thomas, you wanted to talk about this with regard to free speech more broadly. But this particular article discusses a case where a bunch of asshole students were posting some really vile shit on Facebook, some like really kind of like sexist, vile shit, like pictures of the women on campus, like I'd hate fuck her and all this horrible, nasty shit. And the school acted. The school acted to say like, hey, you know, that's not allowable behavior. And that kind of created a firestorm in conversation about what kinds of speech are protected, what types of speech should be protected, where and when those protections kick in.
Just want to point out real quick, this is out of Canada too. Just want to.
Yeah, well, that's that not point. A real country. So yeah. I like that.
We're going to first.
I think so I said it was gonna... CBC News.
But... What did you say?
I think I said it was the CBC News, but.
Oh, okay, sure. Maybe I missed that. I just wanted to make sure it changes the setting a little bit, I think, if folks were imagining the U.S. So, sorry, go on.
No, is Canada a free country? I don't really, you know, do they have?
It's a theocracy, I think. They worship maple syrup.
It's all run by moose.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. There's no way my podcast is getting out there. The grip the dictator has, they won't let my podcast get to him.
It was run by moose originally. Now it's moose lodges.
It's moose lodges.
They're the only ones that can vote.
Right.
Yeah, the minute there's like an anti-moose film that comes from Sony Pictures, you can bet there's going to be like a Canada hack.
Man.
So, sorry, I interrupted your flow. Please continue.
No, that's okay. That was it pretty much. I was just introducing so you can launch
it. Yeah, it's very interesting. This is definitely a broader topic, but as you said, I mean, you find such a range of opinion on freedom of speech, and I myself am very torn about this sort of thing because you can meet a very, and I think it's somewhat compelling. You can find people who will make a very strict, you cannot restrict speech argument, like of any kind. Like the minute you say, well, but this is really vile shit, like offensive to women. And all, yeah. However, if you restrict speech based on the content, then, you know, what's to stop, you know, whoever it is, a government or whatever, from restricting speech that they just don't like. You know, it's sort of slippery slope, but I think it's a demonstrated slippery slope. Like, I think it's a slippery slope that has definitely happened and continues to happen in other places of the world. So I don't find it as completely, you know, just fallacious as your typical slippery slope argument. So I find that really compelling. But on the other hand, as I think someone later in this article said, like, well, this is a very far cry from any sort of actual idea or exploration of truth or, you know, yeah, academic, you know, whatever. So I'm wondering if you guys, what are your thoughts on where you come down on this? I really am torn about this, because if I meet that guy who's like free speech guy, and there's a lot of them, sometimes they're, you know, a little annoying, but it thinks like, you know, you just can't restrict anything on the internet. It can be kind of compelling. But on the other hand, when you look at the shit they're saying, it's like, there's got to be something. I don't know. What do you guys think?
It's an interesting, I think, you know, there's always this play, this freedom of speech play back and forth between, because it really is the essence of democracy, to have the ability to say what you want to say and the ability to espouse the ideas that you have so that you can, you know, in some ways protect yourself. And protect yourself and be able to, you know, be able to express yourself. I feel like the example that was given in this story specifically is more about attacking a person than it is about attacking a group of people. So it feels like I would, you know, you're talking about a single person. You're saying I would hate fuck this person or something. That's not free speech. That's assault to another person. You're hurting another human being. Now, when I say all women are stupid or something like that, I think that softens the blow in a great way. I think that, I don't think that there's a reason to stop someone from saying something like, you know, all women are stupid, except for the fact that when you say something like that, you're impugning a group of people that have no way to control whether or not they're women. Right. That's the same reason why we can't say all black people are jerks or all Chinese people are bad drivers or all those things. You know, I mean, if you're going to say something really mean, though, like all Chinese people are rapists or something like that, you can't say those things because you can't control who you are. You can't control those things. So there's a level of control. That's why I always get touchy when people say when they talk about gay people, they say, oh, you can't, you know, I could say this about gay people. No, you can't say that about gay people because they can't control who they are. Now, you can control whether or not you're a fucking racist, and that's easy to control, and that, right, and that should be able to be condemned and things like that, but you can't control this stuff. So I think that there is a level of hate speech there that is something that we need to guard against. We need to guard against people attacking other people for stuff they can't control.
I want to say that relative to, like, free speech, I think that context in everything is it matters, you know? In this case, in this particular instance, the question is whether or not these students should have the right to say these things. And I think, like, for me, what the determining factor was is that they weren't saying this in a public square, right? They were saying this and they were being penalized as members of a community that they chose to be a part of.
Right.
So they chose to be a part of a university's dentistry school. That wasn't – that they had a choice to not be at that university that has a code of conduct. So they sign into that university of their own choosing, their own volition. That university is allowed to set a code of conduct. Then they break that code of conduct by saying hateful, mean-spirited shit. And now all of a sudden it's supposed to be a free speech issue when they're penalized for it. I think that if they were in their homes saying hateful, mean-spirited shit, they cannot or should not ever be punished. You can say whatever you want in your home. I can say whatever I want in a friend's home. They have the right to kick me the fuck out, right? So when we say things, the things that we say are not consequence-free. That's not what free speech means. Free speech doesn't mean that we can say whatever we want and then there will be nobody who argues with us or that there will be no consequences to our actions. Free speech, in my mind, means that specifically and only the government does not have the ability to decide or restrict what I say, who I say it about. Individual institutions that I chose to be a part of that have a code of conduct that I violated, that's not a free speech issue. Like, to me, that's just somebody knew what they signed up for and then they decided not to do it. It'd be the same thing as if, like, the school had a policy against stealing things. And then I showed up and I stole things. And then they kicked me out of the school for stealing things.
And then you say, like, and then you scream, well, you're taking away my liberty, right? And you always go back, you always fall back on these larger concepts to save you. Free speech is used constantly, even when it's not a free speech issue.
Yeah.
It's used constantly as a get out of jail free card. Get out of consequence.
You know, and that makes me crazy because this is not – free speech is not about lack of consequences. Free speech is about whether or not the government
can
restrict
you.
What I have to say, not whether or not an individual university or a store owner or I. If I went to your house, Cecil, and I said fucking hateful shit, you'd throw me the fuck out of your house.
I did last night. So.
How did you end up together again? I don't understand.
Well, you locked us in a room, Saw style, and gave us lasagna.
Well, I left lasagna a bit like a trail of lasagna bits that both, for both
like,
of you.
Like James Woods from That Family Guy, like, ooh, piece of lasagna. Ooh, piece of lasagna.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I think that there's a lot to say about this. You're absolutely right, and it's one of my biggest pet peeves when people cry free speech when it's 100% not a free speech thing. Like it's, you know, when we're talking about YouTube or something, you know, like when YouTube decides to moderate comments, it's like, how dare you violate free speech? It's like, that's their website. They can, decide if they want to have you asshole commenting in the way you're commenting. I agree. It should come down to government. Now, I think there was a government tie to this story, which I think is why it was an issue. And one thing that this guy said, let's see, for the Canadian Center for Ethics, this guy Mercer, who we didn't really introduce him, but he said we should be uneasy when it comes to going after posters in the relative privacy of Facebook, I would think. And they said, is it only behind the locked doors of our houses that we can say what we want without worry? So I think that's where he's coming from.
But what kind of worry? I'm going to interrupt you. I'm sorry. But what kind of worry, right? So that's the part of that really bothered me. It's like, what kind of inside my house, I should be able to say literally anything without worry because it's my fucking house. But even that's not actually the case. If I were to walk upstairs, I'm in my house right now. If I were to walk upstairs and say this hateful, awful shit, there would be consequences. My wife there would be consequences with my wife. There would be consequences with my kids. Cecil's here. There'd be consequences with Cecil, right? So there's no world that we exist in unless we scream into a fucking paper bag where we can say literally anything and there's no consequence whatsoever. The question is who do those consequences come from? Because speech is always about audience, right? So your audience is always going to have some reaction, positive, negative, or neutral. But the question on free speech is where do the consequences come from? If the consequences come from my audience – then that's fair and that's deserved. If the consequences come from a private institution that I have agreed to certain terms with, and again, that seems to me perfectly fair. If, however, the consequences come from government, then all of a sudden a bigger set of issues come into play. That's a real free speech thing.
Sure. Well, okay. So I think in this instance, just to make sure we're all on the same page, what happened was – somebody, I don't know, some whistleblower sent CBC News screenshots of the post that was in a group Facebook page. So it's not as though they're, you know, like,
are we
going to
pretend Facebook is private now?
Well,
like, are we really going to pretend in 2015
that group,
Facebook? Yeah,
well,
really?
That
but
you couldn't you
out.
Say this? Couldn't you say the same thing for your house? Like, oh,
sure.
I thought it was private, but then someone took a screenshot of my audio that I said in my house and then sent it out to a news industry. Well, yeah, that or a news company. Like, yeah,
so
then
we
nothing's
shouldn't be
private.
Responsible for the things we say. Like, there should be certain places where the things that we say are consequence free.
I think that's the argument this guy is making. That
is wrong.
If you're in a private environment, you can say stuff without worry of When it's supposedly private, that you should be able to say stuff without worry of consequences.
I think that's pushing what Facebook really is, though. You're saying it's private, but it's not. It's social. I can't imagine it being it, you saying that it's private and thinking that it is you in a. I mean, it's not analogous to you in your house. It really
no, I think
just
it is
not.
If you're making a private group page that is. You're under the understanding that this is our private group. Now, it's the same as if you have a group gathering in your house. If you have the understanding that this is a private group and then someone violates that, I mean, where is the line of what would ever be a private group? Like, is there such a thing? You know, I mean, I think in this day and age, we do express ourselves and use and communicate through social media. That's what we do. Now, if they were just spewing Facebook statuses, I 100% agree. But if it's the kind of thing where it's a closed group where the understanding was this is our private gathering we're having and someone leaked it, I'm devil's advocating here and I'm trying to look at what this guy Mercer said. I'm not sure. I mean, it feels a little weird. And again, like you said, if it's not coming down from the government, then it's maybe not a free speech issue. But unless there's a part of the agreement that you have with the school that says you can't even in a private group that's a quote unquote, you know, closed Facebook group, you can't exchange whatever ideas. Like, isn't that a little odd? I think you would have to have an explicit agreement saying you can just never even say or think these certain things, which are awful things, granted, like totally 100% awful things. I don't know. I think it gets a little muddy there.
I agree. I think it does get a little muddy. I think that it is – the thing is that it's spanning between two different ideas. One's a free speech issue. One's a privacy issue. And I think that sure. because it spans between those two, it gets weird and it gets muddy. Do I think that people should monitor their thoughts to never have inappropriate thoughts? No, not at all. Do I think that people should – never say inappropriate things. No, I say inappropriate things all the fucking time.
We have a show about that.
Yeah, we have an entire show that's just constant inappropriateness.
When is there going to be some consequences?
When is there going to actually be an appropriate thing that is said? I don't know when that's going to happen. But you know, do I think that that's a case? No, I don't. I think that that's you're absolutely allowed your inappropriateness. But I think that. You're right. You are. I think that there is something to be said about being in a private group and, you know, sort of having a pact with the members that says this will always be a private group. But is that explicitly said or is it implicitly said? You know, whether or not someone explicitly said no one can ever share anything here. Well, somebody did share something from there and it got out. And so it's not private anymore. And so now we've got to deal with it in a non-private way.
And I think, it's the same thing as, like, if I said to my buddy, hey, I'm going to tell you a secret, and I tell you a secret, and the secret is, you know, like, I totally kidnapped a girl and held her for 17 days in my basement, right? And you were like, fuck, what? That's really fucking weird.
Oh, I think it's very, I mean.
Okay, let me take that example away. I was just being hyperbolic. Sure. But let's say I tell you a secret. I tell you that secret in confidence. Now, I'm hoping you'll keep that secret, but that's all that is a hope. You don't have to keep that secret. And if you don't keep that secret and you spill my dirty little details about the world, okay, man. Like, maybe you're a jerk, but I still said that shit. And well, that's still my shit. Like,
there's definitely a sense in which you're never getting, you know, that the train has left the station. Like, I'm trying to think.
But look.
Oh, go ahead.
The Facebook thing is the same thing, right? It's you're saying, like, I want to have a safe space for me to say these things, and I'm going to say that this is my safe space, and I'm going to hope that it stays a safe space. But if it doesn't, the truth is I still said that shit, and I'm still like, there may be consequences for the things
there is,
that I said.
Absolutely, there's consequences. And here's a perfect, I think, a pretty good analog. Donald Sterling had to sell the Clippers because he came out as a racist.
A lot of people thought that wasn't exactly right. I mean, because it was private. Yeah.
Sure, it's private, but the consequences still exist whether it's private or not. And I think that's the point, right? The consequences for your actions, you can't act consequence-free all the time. You can't think, well, this is consequence-free. You come out as a racist and you happen to be in a sport that is multiracial and then you expect to somehow have the same sort of respect you had before. That's impossible. There's no way you can get that respect back. You can't wipe the jury's mind.
Right.
That's a thing that's impossible to do. So there's nothing you can do except for the league had no other choice, I think. The league has no other choice but then to get rid of the racist guy.
And that's not about free speech. Because he still had the right to say it.
No, it's more about privacy. I think you were right to point that out.
Yeah.
And I think that, as I was going to say, there is going to be a sense in which the trains left the station when, you know, what quote unquote a private conversation that was completely legitimately private and not just like some, you know, loose Facebook thing, but actually a private conversation when someone goes out of their way and actually violates your privacy by leaking it. And it happens to reveal awful racist things. There's a sense in which like, oh, there's never going to be like, okay, we'll forget about that because it was private. Like, you know, you're good. I understand. It was an accident. So that, you know, that we're never going to get back. We're not going to get the toothpaste back in that tube. I understand that part of it. But I think it's a different story because would you ever say, let me ask you this. Would you ever say that it's okay for a company without some sort of explicit contract? Would you say it's okay for a company that you're working for an employer, to enforce what you can and can't say in privacy, in a very legitimately perceived private setting? And I think that's the issue, because I actually think that I'm not, you know, as big of a dumbass as Sterling was. I'm all for, you know, pressuring him to sell, making, you know, boycotting, doing whatever. I don't know that the league was within its rights to force the guy to sell when it was something that was stolen, when it was a private exchange,
right?
That was not – he did not authorize it to be made public.
That's a PR decision though, but from the league. I mean, you've got to look at it from the league's point of view. Here's another somewhat analogous thing. Years ago and I don't know, maybe it's not analogous. Maybe I'm just fucking just saying that and it's not. But years ago on Saturday Night Live, Rage Against the Machine played on Saturday Night Live. And I don't know if you remember this, but there's like a fucking kerfuffle about this. They had put an upside down American flag on the set. And right before they went on, the gaffers or whatever, the fucking roadie people, were told that they had to take it down, and there was a fight, and basically stagehands from Saturday Night Live came up, grabbed it 10 seconds or so before they came on, tore it down. They performed Bulls on Parade, and then they were asked to leave immediately. There was no fucking, hey, let's stay afterwards and do the wave or do a second song. That was it. They were kicked off the show. Now, NBC decided to make that choice. They made a choice to stifle someone's freedom of speech, right? Their artistic intent. They had an artistic intent to put an upside down American flag to say, basically, up yours, America. I can do what I want, and I fucking don't like what you do in these situations. And they stifled someone's artistic creativity, someone who they specifically asked on to be artistic, and they stifled their artistic creativity. But they recognize that they pay the bills through advertising dollars. It's not that they broadcast Saturday Night Live for the goodness of the fucking human race. They broadcast Saturday Night Live because they want to put advertising dollars in their pocket, because they want to put out a product that they want to reach the most amount of people. And they didn't want anything offensive on television to scare away
advertisers.
You're
not going to get any argument from me on that. Because that's not a perceived private thing.
And the same thing here.
Absolutely.
And the same, I think the same thing here.
I don't think it's the same.
Well,
at all.
Can I try to finish? Okay. So the reason why I think it's very similar is that the NBA doesn't go out of their way to make sure that everybody enjoys a game of basketball. That's not why the NBA exists. The NBA exists as an entity to make sure the NBA makes lots of money. And the teams that are part of the NBA make as much money as possible. When you have somebody like Donald Sterling or David Sterling, Donald Duck, say some crazy shit that is clearly racist, and it gets leaked, whether it's, you know, whether it's a violation of privacy, which I absolutely 100% completely agree with. It is an absolute violation of privacy that guy got hosed. He got taped, wiretapped, whatever you want to call it, and it was released, and he didn't give his permission, and I totally understand, and I'm 100% behind you. I think it's abhorrent what they did to that guy when they took his voice and spread it all over the place. That still doesn't erase what was done. It was said, and it was leaked, and everybody heard it, and everybody's going to look at the NBA and say, how dare you not punish this guy. You got to act. You got to do something. So whether or not it's logical or whether or not it's not about any of that stuff anymore. Now it's about making money. And if they can't make the money, they got to make sure that they get rid of the entity that is going to cause them the most harm. And that happened to be that guy. I think it's a money-making decision, an absolute violation of privacy. And maybe it's not a free speech issue at all. But I think if I was in the league's position, I would do the exact same thing.
Let me interject here, maybe an idea that might add some clarity to this mud. So, I think just bring it back out conceptually. If an organization were to go hunting for private information or private conversations, and then after going hunting, it finds things and finds them objectionable, then I think that would be an inappropriate curtailing of free speech. If, however, it comes to their attention through a third-party source. So that's the case in this news story, and that's the case in this Sterling issue, right? So the NBA didn't go hunting for this information. This information came to them. And once it comes to them, they're forced to act. And that's just a managerial decision. When information comes to you, you have to act on that information. The same thing is true with this university. The university didn't violate this privacy.
That's a good point.
Page,
this is a
right?
really good point, I think.
So the question is, who violated that perceived privacy? They may have done something that was wrong. But once it moves out of the private and into the public sphere, whether it should have or shouldn't have doesn't matter anymore. That's some fucking platonic ideal shit. Now, who cares? It did. It's the reality of it. And so now they have to act. You have got to make a call because now it is not private. It has become public. Whether it's fair that it became public or not is not a free speech issue. That's a privacy issue and it's separate.
That's not how things work in a court of law, though. And there's a good reason for it. If evidence is found to be taken illegally, then you throw it out. You have
sure.
to.
Yep. This yep. isn't a court of law, though.
It's not a court of law, but when we're talking about legal issues, a contract is, that's something that's legally important.
Okay,
and
but
unless
hold on.
It explicitly, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, but most people don't work under contract.
I think these people we're talking about, Sterling. I mean, he has a contract with the. I mean that is an agreement that they have, an employment agreement. And if they're not working under contract, I think it would be even worse if it's just a general employment thing. You could get fired. I mean, imagine. Okay, there's just so many problems with what you're saying. I think in practice, because let's say just and again, this is hypothetical. Let's say someone else who maybe isn't even racist gets tape recorded or whatever. Let's say they're repeating a joke they heard. The clip gets taken out of context and it's bad. You know, he says some. You hear the guy saying some horrible things. Now, how can you be so certain that you're going to end a guy's career or make him sell his team or do whatever based on something that you illegally obtained? Essentially, like you it was a violation of his privacy. There wasn't possibly wasn't a full, you know, context to the comment. What is that guy going to say? Like, no, that was out of context. Is anyone going to believe that? I mean, there's just all these problems with this that right. I think that you need to have the ability to have discussions in private, even when they're and when someone violates that privacy. Here's what I think the NBA should have done. They should have said, wow, these comments were absolutely horrifying. We would absolutely love this asshole Sterling. We want him to sell the team. We don't want to be involved with him anymore. Legally, we're going to see what we can do. But that's that. Like, we 100% disagree with his stance. All that. But I don't know that you can legally break an agreement with somebody based on stuff that was obtained kind of, you know, illegally.
But they didn't obtain it illegally. Like, the NBA did not do the obtaining.
But there's a and reason that, but- we also don't let people come in, you know, this guy wasn't a cop, but he, you know, obtained some evidence against the guy. Like, there's a reason we don't let that stand.
But those
principle.
Are really different issues, Thomas. And my next question would be, like, how much money should I be obligated to lose? how many jobs? So let's say I'll give you an example, like where I work. So I, like, if I work and one of my salespeople, for example, is videotaped saying something horrible, and it gets out to my clients, and my clients say, "Man, we're pulling our business unless you fire Joe because he said that horrible shit." Now, Joe had a right to privacy when he said those things. He said them. I'll even say he said them in his own house to his wife. Okay. Should I keep him on and lose all my clients and then have to fire all of my employees because I no longer have business? Or should I, as the manager of that company, say, "Joe, look, man, I'm sorry. I recognize that it sucks that this private conversation of yours got leaked. But if I keep you on, I stand to lose tons of money. And every dollar I lose, it's not like I'm a company. It's not like I lose money and I just say, man, that sucks. What I do is I fire people. Fire people who weren't involved, who didn't say horrible shit, because I've got to protect the company, the bottom line. I mean, I've got to winnow it down. So, and this is a very real example. So, and I'll tell you, like, I've got a sales guy that controls in one of my areas. I got a sales guy that controls 80% of our volume in an area. So if all of his customers found out that he said some horrible misogynist shit and they demanded that I let him go or they stopped doing business with me, he's gone that hour. Because if I don't do that, I have to shut my operations down. I can't lose 80% and still run an operation. So it's do I let him go and say, "Man, I really do genuinely think it sucks that your privacy was violated, but I have an obligation as a company," right? Or do I say, "Oh, well, you know what I'll do is I'll just ride this out until all of us go down." One is responsible, one is grossly irresponsible.
Well, but you've now – okay, so you've now opened it up as a principle that anything someone says in privacy, if it goes against what your employer likes of any kind – before we were talking, oh, these are grossly sexist, these are threatening things. That may be another story. Now we've opened it up to anything that your employer thinks might lose him money.
That
is a principle.
Yes. My employer could fire me because I smell bad. My employer could fire me for no reason at all. Your employer, unless you have a contract, and most people work at will without contract,
right?
Your employer can let you go for any reason. They employ you because –
Not if they can't let you go because they're gay. There are certain protected things.
Race, color, religion, national origin, sex, marital status, age, and handicap. Those are the typical federally protected equal opportunity pieces.
Employer perceives that once they find out you're gay, you weren't out, your privacy was leaked, you're gay, they perceive that it's going to lose them a ton of money because they're in a really religious area.
It's protected.
But then it's protected.
It's part of the equal opportunity employment. That's protected.
So the principle, as long as it's protected, then it's okay for you to lose all that money. That's the law.
It's yeah. not whether or not – I think it's – you're not asking – we're answering two different questions here. Now we're asking the question, do I think it's right or do I think it's wrong, right? But we live in a world – like let's also be realistic. Like we live in a world where it's very unlikely that I will lose a ton of business because I have safeguarded an employee because of their race, color, religion, national origin, sex, marital status, age, or handicap, right? So I'm very unlikely to lose a lot of business because I safeguard an employee who falls within one of those protected categories, which is part of our social contract.
I just don't know if that's true. I mean, I think you ultimately you might be right on this issue, but I don't know if that's true. I don't think you can argue on the basis that, oh no, you're probably going to be okay business wise if you protect a protected class. Like I don't think that is sound as a principle for argument. Do you?
Well, I do, because I think it is part of our social contract that we've decided – that's why we pass laws, right? When we pass laws, one of the things that we're saying is that we as a society are agreeing that this is a group that we are not going to discriminate, because we may – it's okay to discriminate
on
ability.
The whole reason you had to make the law was because they were getting discriminated against. So you could easily live in a county or a state – where you will 100% lose all your business for protecting a protected class. That's the only point I want to make, because it sounds like you were arguing, oh, you're likely not going to lose business for protecting one of these protected classes, but you could very easily lose all your business for that. And I just want to point out that I don't think that's consistent.
You could, but you don't have a choice, right? You don't have a legal choice.
But
you can't choose not to do that.
So you're okay, let me eliminate the argument I was trying to make. In one case here, we have something that's legally protected, your race, your sexuality, that, right?
Right.
On the other hand, we have something else that's legally protected, your privacy. Someone dished out let's assume for the sake of argument, completely illegally disclosed your privacy, a private conversation, something that they were not authorized to do. It is a violation. You could sue them for that. Yet for you guys, it's okay. Or for, you, Tom, you seem to think that's not protected. Both were a violation of law, and they're both protected by law. But in one case, you think can't fire him. In the other case, you think can fire him.
Sue away.
Yeah.
Sue away, man. Good. That's what courts exist for. Go get them. If you think your privacy was violated, fucking take as much as you can from somebody else. I agree. I think a violation of privacy is a heinous, awful thing.
Right.
And I think that it should be punished as drastically as possible. But I also think that you can't flush people's memories out of their heads. So you're at an impasse there as the person who, somebody violated someone's privacy, but I can't not act on that.
Yeah, it's not private anymore.
Well, you can not act on the protected race or sexuality somehow. That's what I find odd. You're accepting that people can not act on that, even though if they're 100% biased against gay people, you've accepted, nope, they can't not act like that. But something else that should be protected by law, you've decided, oh, I have to act on that.
But I find that
interesting.
Yeah, we're missing that third party though, right? So let's follow the chain of events. So I've got an employee over here who says some awful shit. The company is on – so the employee is on one end. The company is at the other end. And in order for the company to find out, a third party that is not the company leaks that information and then makes that information no longer private but makes that information public. So you've got two distinct chains of events that have to be dealt with discreetly. The leaking of the private information is abhorrent, and the person whose privacy was violated should go after the person who disclosed the information. Once the information passes from the private sphere into the public sphere, which is how the company found out about it, right? If it was still private, they wouldn't have found out about it, and they're not the one in this scenario doing the snooping, right? So it has moved out of the private sphere and into the public sphere. Now the company, the employer, is forced to act. Or maybe they're not forced to act. Maybe they say, hey, this isn't so bad. We don't stand to lose any money. It's fine. We're willing to protect this employee. This is fine. We don't think they did. But they have to – nonetheless, they can't pretend that it's not in the public sphere now, right?
Well, the argument I was making is that you can make all the same arguments for if a third party outed someone as gay in an area where they would lose a ton of business if they're gay. The same argument holds. I mean, you can't pretend that you don't know they're gay. You can't pretend that everyone's going to forget they're gay. The information is out there, but it's protected by law. And my argument I'm making is the original privacy should have been protected by law. And I think it ought to be the same.
It is protected by law though, Thomas. They're two discrete issues and you're conflating them. The privacy is protected by law, and a third party that is neither the person whose privacy was violated nor the company who's being forced to act, a third party is the one who is at fault for violating that privacy, right? They're the one who committed the bad act.
Yes, I understand that.
Okay. So are you suggesting then, and forgive me if I'm misinterpreting you, are you suggesting that anything that we say in the devil's advocate position is that anything that we say in private, no matter how it affects your employer or whatever, if you can make the case that you didn't intend for that to become public, that your employer should suffer infinite losses to protect your privacy, that your employer has a right, has a responsibility to safeguard your privacy?
We've accepted that the employer has to accept infinite losses for other certain things that are protected by law.
Right, right, right. But
privacy is also protected by law. Why do they not have to also suffer possible consequences for that?
Privacy in certain areas, in those seven things that he listed.
Right. So okay. Well, let's talk about
if you were saying something and someone that you are intending fully disclose. It's like journalistic, the rules of journalism. I mean, if you can't just publish what someone is saying It's against the law to just publish something that someone doesn't want published for the world. I mean, you can't simply take someone's private conversation, publish it wherever you want. That is a violation of the law. So it's illegal in that sense. And what I'm saying is that we've accepted that for these certain protected groups, which obviously it's 100% great that they're protected, companies do have to accept losses. They can't simply, because they're in a conservative area, they can't fire someone who's gay because they could lose their entire company. It doesn't matter. They can't fire that person because they're gay, because it's protected by law. The only argument I'm trying to make is that if someone's privacy was violated, and the reason it's a hairy issue, let me say, is we don't, you know, when things are put into the public sphere, as you've mentioned, like, you know, sure, it was a violation of law or whatever, it was a violation of their privacy, but it's out in the public. We don't always have all the information. It might be out of context. It might be what it might have been totally fine, right, whatever they were saying. But that's why it's difficult to me as a principal to say the company has a right to act on this completely, you know, illicitly obtained information that they might not even have all of. They have a right to act on that. It seems odd to me. And maybe you're right. I mean,
they have a responsibility.
It sounds like legally,
in my opinion, to act. I think more than a right to act, I think they have a responsibility to act on it to protect the other employees that work there. You know, I'd hate to go down with the ship that I don't have to go down with and get fired because our company lost all of its business.
But you've recognized they don't have that responsibility when it's a matter of race, sex,
because
age,
race,
whatever.
Color, religion, national origin, sex, marital status, age, and handicap are not things that you say. They're things that you are. And that's something that Cecil and I have talked about before. So if I say, you know, all women are useless and I say some horrible misogynist shit, right? That's not something I am, like my race or my national origin or my marital status or my age or my handicap, right? Those are things that we are. So we have drawn a line as a nation. We've said there are certain things that you can't control about you, like your age is, you know, you're going to get older. So we don't want to live in a world where people who are black are treated differently, or people who are, 55 or older are treated differently. We don't want to live in that world. But there's a difference between the things that we are, that we can't control, that are simply a function of our being, and the things that we say, right? So the things that we say and the personality that we choose and the habits that we cultivate, those are our choices, and our choices have consequences. My race, color, religion, national – none of those things are my choices.
Oh, religion.
But
maybe.
It wasn't – yeah, religion. But it wasn't your choice.
Right?
Yeah, it wasn't your choice for someone to violate your privacy and publish.
Different issue,
the same thing applies.
But that's a separate issue.
I don't know that it is. But I think we're out of time. I think that I'm really glad that we –
wait a minute. You're not
you
getting the last
right.
word. You're
no,
not
I didn't
the
get the last word. My simple last word. My last word was, I still disagree. So if you want to have the last word and say you still disagree, that's totally fine. I didn't provide any reason. I wasn't trying to snipe an argument.
I know. I'm just teasing. I don't mind.
It sounds like both of our last words is that we probably don't agree with each other.
Yeah,
so
I think it's such a difficult prospect. And it's not that I think that the company is morally right. I think that that's something I want to make sure I say. I think that I think it's awful and bad when they have to act on it, because it is in the public sphere already. And I think it is still violating everyone involved. I think it's terrible. But I think that this is the good of the many versus the good of the few sort of argument here. And you can't just go down with the ship because of your principles in some way, because we've all agreed that this is why profits, this is how profit system works. There are other countries where there's plenty of laws that say that you can't get fired for shit. I mean, France is a perfect example of plenty of protections, way more protections than we have in the United States for employees, where they would never be able to be fired for these for certain violations. And so this is just the social contract that we currently have.
Sure.
Do I think that it could be improved? I think it could be vastly improved, and I'm not going to argue that in any way. So I just wanted to get that a point across before we closed out.
Okay, sure. Yeah, no, that's a good point. All right, well, any final words before I unleash the last piece of lasagna that you're going to have to fight to the death over?
Congratulations, Thomas, on your first podcast reaching 100.
Yeah,
thank
absolutely.
You. Well, it's not, but yeah. The Thomas in the Bible is at 163, I think.
Is it? Well, yes. Well, that's I don't count Thomas in the Bible. So.
I think we should congratulate the Bible.
Yeah, yeah.
Not Thomas.
The Bible for being an endless supply of drivel and more. Well, but that's a double-edged sword because it's an endless supply of boredom. So and you know, I'm tethered to it now.
This is a lot of podcasts though. 163 plus 100 and how many of this podcast?
50 plus 5. So how many, someone can add that all up.
How many at this podcast did you have?
Two for flinching back in the
two
day.
Two for flinching.
I had 50 at this podcast. So.
Wow. And then good and God. Now comedy Shoeshine is 5, right?
But, so. Yeah, yeah. So, wow. Yeah, I've got a lot.
You're just a podding, dude.
You really are a podcasting mogul.
Yeah.
You're the exactly. Donald Trump of podcasts.
You're the Donald Sterling of podcasts.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Well, as soon as a few of my private conversations get leaked.
Yeah.
And I think it should go without saying that I'm not in any way condoning what any of these assholes have said.
Yeah, I don't think you are.
I hope that my audience doesn't think like I have some like I'm worried that someone's going to out me for some horrible shit I say. Not at all the truth. I'm just genuinely interested in like if you can, you know, act on a violation of privacy. It's very interesting. But thank you guys for the discussion. That was. I like it best when we disagree. It's definitely more fun to try to work it out. So
yeah.
I'm going to have to think about that a lot, and I'm going to have some help from my listeners because they always give me some really good comments, and we'll see where people come down.
Yeah, we like it better when you're wrong, too.
Yeah, so. I agree. I agree that when you're wrong, it's better.
When I'm wrong and you guys could just mop the floor with me, you know, that's when you guys really enjoy coming on the show.
That was a lot of fun, man. Thank you for
yeah,
that.
Thanks
that was,
for having
thank
us.
You guys so much. And from all of us here on the Atheistically Speaking staff, you know, a lot of people in the
awesome.
Buzzing about the office. Thank you, my listeners, for listening to 100 episodes of this stuff, of this content. All right. Adios, everyone.